this part of our service, we're going to have an extended interview. And so I'm going to hand over to Roger Carswell, our guest speaker today, and Sharif Hassan.
Good. Well, I'm the visitor. I don't know whether I'm being... can you hear me? You can now, yeah, yes. Yeah. And this is Sharif, who's a local guy.
Hello, everyone.
So get this in front of your mouth. There we are. And I didn't meet Sharif till this week, so I'm just going to be nosy and try and find out a few things about him. But Sharif, you know this area very well, but you weren't brought
Not
up here.
Well.
You weren't brought up here, were you?
No.
Where's home?
On Gypsy Hill.
Okay, and before that?
No, I'm from Egypt, like I think most of you know about me.
Look, I want you to ignore the people who know about you, yeah, and just think of the people who don't know about you, okay?
Mohammed, I'm originally from Egypt. I was born in Egypt and came to England in 2010. So I lived there until I was 39.
Right, so we can work that out. Okay. Oh, you are growing old. You'll still be on your pension. But, all right, and... whereabouts in Egypt were you?
Cairo, from Cairo.
Cairo, okay. And tell us a bit about your home. Most of us will never have been to Egypt. What was it like?
It's hot. It's sunny.
Right, so a bit like Yorkshire. Any other?
No, it's a bit dusty because, you know, Egypt's mostly desert. Okay. I grew up in a Muslim family. Okay. I used to live in Cairo. I prayed the 5 times a day, I did the fasting, I did everything the Islam requires, and I was feeling very good about myself, very good.
When you say you prayed 5 times a day, these were specific times, you stopped what you were doing and you prayed?
Yes, I think it's a bit challenging sometimes, like in the winter, when it's very cold, you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you wash your body and go to the mosque and pray. Who else can do that? You know,
and that was
of religious people, you know, it's like people who are good.
And when you prayed, was this a recited prayer or was it one that came from your heart spontaneously?
No, religion is very systematic, like Judaism and Islam are very systematic. You have to say or to recite certain things. You know, you cannot just pray what's in your heart, you have to say certain things. You know, you have to recite the Quran and be specific actions, bow down and, you know, stand up and bow down again, you know. There's certain things, you know. It's very systematic. You know.
So, did you understand what you were praying?
Yeah. It's my language. You used to recite the Quran. The Quran is in Arabic and it's my language. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you knew what you were praying and you felt good about doing it?
Yes, very good, yeah.
When you fasted, did you feel good every day then?
Yeah. Like, you know, it's a man's thing, you know. It's like you fast, you know, from, you know, the sunrise until the sunset, you know. It's sometimes it's a very long day, yeah.
Right, okay. But did you start at the end of the day to be craving for food?
Yeah, and water.
So would I. Yeah, you're not even allowed to drink water.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if you know this or not. You know, Ramadan is moving, you know, 11 days ahead every
this
year.
This is a fast
period. So yeah, exactly. It's just like a month, you know. So sometimes we fast in the winter, and sometimes in the summer, and sometimes in the spring, and sometimes in the autumn. So it's varied. So it's like maybe it lasts like 4, 5, or 6 years in the summer, and then moves towards the spring, and then the winter. Yeah. So
okay.
The worst thing is to fast in the summer.
Yeah. Because if you can't drink it.
Yeah.
So you were fulfilling all these religious duties and you felt you were good, you said.
Yeah, you feel very good about yourself. So I did this until I was 17 and suddenly I started to realize there was a mountain of sins behind me.
So you were aware that you were doing wrong things?
Yes, I did horrible things actually, but religion controls you, you know, it doesn't allow you to see anything, just like you think of the next action, what shall I do next, you know, it's like the first prayer, then the second prayer, you know, so it dominates you, you know, so if you live by the religion, it's like the Jews, the Pharisees, you know, when you go back to the Bible and you see the Pharisees, they looked very great, but actually they have dark hearts.
Okay, and you were conscious of that.
I was not. In the beginning, I was not.
Oh, but at the age of 17, you were.
I was 17, okay. I started to realize that. Yeah.
And what did you do about that? If you felt really guilty inside, what did you do about it?
It was a scare. I started to feel worried about myself and about what I was doing. And I started to question everything around me, you know. Because I ticked all the boxes, you know, I prayed, I fasted, I did everything perfectly, but I never thought about my sins, about my the dirt in my life, about the bad things in my life at all. I ignored everything. And at that time, I realized there were two persons, actually. The God person in front of everyone can see, and the terrible one who's hiding behind this good person, nobody else can see. I lied, I lusted, I did all the horrible things, but nobody could see this. You know, so I realized that at the age of 17, I was two different persons. You know, the good one and the bad one, actually.
And did that make you more religious, or did it drive you a little bit away from religion?
No. It forced me to be more religious because I wanted to cover, you know, this mountain of dirt, mountain of, you know, sins behind me, but I couldn't. Because in Islam, at the end of it, like the judgment day, you know, you come out with your bad deeds and good deeds, and God weighs them out, and if the good deeds outweighed, you know, the bad deeds, you go to heaven. If the bad deeds outweigh the good deeds, you go to hell. If they're put even, you do not know where to go. It's just like, you know, you're in the middle.
So it's a religion of works, and you are working hard, but... Now, your family, all very religious?
Very religious.
Were they a rich family, a poor family?
A poor family. I came from a poor family. Yeah.
Okay, and... Now, you went eventually to university. How old were you when you went to university?
Yeah, I was 17.
So, just
happened before I went to university.
And what did you go to study?
Education system, actually, the Egyptian education system is very odd and different, you know. You do not choose what you study. Okay, after the high school, you get a score, and this score sends you somewhere. So, and I was sent to the Semitic language school in Cairo University. You know, so I started to study Semitic languages.
Now, what are Semitic languages?
Yeah, Semitic language, Hebrew and Aramaic.
And Aramaic is more or less a dead language, isn't it?
We have four or five villages in Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon. We still speak this language.
A few people still, okay.
But generally it's a dead language.
It's an ancient language. So you started studying Hebrew and Aramaic.
Yeah, I had no idea why I started to do this. I was not planning to study Hebrew at all, you know, at all. But when I started to study Hebrew, I realized that I had to buy the Bible in Hebrew and in Arabic.
Because our Old Testament part of the Bible was originally in Hebrew.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Yes,
I heard of the Bible from the Quran.
Have you ever read the Bible? Seen the Bible?
No, I never ever seen an actual Bible in my hand or anywhere else. You know, so that was the first time ever to see a Bible. So and I have to buy it, to pay money to get it.
Yeah, if you'd met the Gideons, they would have given you free of charge. But anyway, all right. So you got a Bible, a Hebrew Bible, and as a Muslim, you started to read it. Were you worried about that?
I was very excited because we know from the Quran that the Bible is corrupted. You know, and
that's what you're taught.
I was taught like all of my life that the Bible was corrupted. You know, and I was very interested to read the Old Testament because it's my specialty. It's like I was studying the Old Testament, and after a couple of years, I get a conclusion that Judaism is the right way, it's the right religion, because Islam and Judaism are really similar. 75% of the Quran is taken literally from the Old Testament. And if the Old Testament is much older, why should I believe in the new revelation? It's like, why should I believe in the Quran then? Mm. You know, so after 2 years, in my heart, I was a Jew. You know, I believed in Judaism, because it's older, it's more authentic, you know, it's the word of God according to the Quran, so I became a Jew.
So, how did you tell your family and your, I don't know, your university professors that what you'd read had convinced you to become Jewish in your thoughts?
I just like the professor were looking for, not looking, because, you know, the study, like, you know, was about how to prove that the Bible was corrupted. You know, especially the Old Testament.
Right.
And this showed us lots of places where we can prove that the Bible was corrupted. Yeah, here and there and here and there. Like a book of Isaiah, for instance. He said like three Isaiahs wrote this book. Not only one Isaiah, you know. The last part of, you know, the five of the Torah was written by Joshua. But we say it is written by Moses. But actually it was written by Joshua. You know, anyway, lots of things like this. But for me, I had different point of view. Like, okay, this is older. You know, this book is older, much older than the Quran. Why should I believe in the Quran then, if this is older? And they are 90% similar. They have the same revelation. Salvation is by works. You know, and I'm used to work to get my salvation. It's like, you know, work, pray, and fast. Okay, in Judaism, it's the same thing. Pray, fast, and do good deeds.
Mm. Now, when you say you became Jewish in your thinking, you didn't start going to the synagogue.
No. At that time, we didn't have synagogues, actually. All the synagogues were closed.
All right. But if I'd come up to you and said, Sharif, are you a Muslim or a Jew? What would you have said?
In my heart, I was a Jew, yeah.
You're a Muslim?
Yeah.
Would you have said that?
For everyone, I was Muslim, yeah. But in my heart, I was a Jew because, you know, I believe that the Bible would not be corrupted at all. You know, especially when you study the history of the Bible and how the Jews kept the covers of the Bible, you know, safe and not corrupted at all.
Yeah. Now, much of the New Testament was written in Greek, but there is Aramaic there as well. So what happened when you started studying Aramaic?
This is the turning point, because in the Old Testament, we studied all the prophecies, especially in the book of Isaiah, and the professor tried to prove that all these prophecies were fulfilled in Muhammad as a prophet. Okay? So, in the third year of my study, I studied Aramaic. You know, I'm sure you know the New Testament was written in Greek. Actually, originally, it was written in Aramaic, because Jesus spoke Aramaic, and all the disciples spoke Aramaic. They came from a poor background, who were not educated. So, Aramaic, as a dead language, all the manuscripts disappeared because of this, but, you know, the Greek covers stayed, you know, remained, because it's a life language. So we had to study Aramaic because of this reason. You know, it's the original language of the New Testament, not the Greek. So when I started to study the New Testament, you know, this kind of enlightenment comes to your mind and heart, and you see all the prophecies in the Old Testament fulfilled in Jesus, not nobody else. You know, I remember I had no interest at all to read the New Testament in the first 2 years, because the focus was in the Old Testament. But when I started to read it, I read it in one day. You know, I started to read it and I couldn't stop, because like in every book, like the book of Matthew, you see Jesus there and the prophets fulfilled in him, and you just move on until the book of Revelation. It was so exciting.
Okay, so what is this doing to you, you know? Did you begin to see Jesus in a new light?
Yes, this is one thing, but I started to feel afraid, you know? Like, I left Islam and became a Jew, and now, what shall I go, you know? So, he's a man, you know? He is, you know, the Messiah. He is the one all the prophets talked about, okay? And then, as Muslims, we believe Jesus never died. Jesus in heaven, you know. So, and if he's alive, still alive for 2,000 years, that means he's eternal. Why do we reject his divine nature then? You know, I started to think, and, you know, I wanted to make a decision, because this is my life, you know. Religion didn't work for me, because no matter the good deeds you do, you still make bad things behind you, you know, and you cannot cover them, you can get rid of them, you know. Where Jesus, like in his story, in the New Testament, he died for our sins. So this is the solution, you know.
So you understood this?
Yes.
Was this for the first time that you were understanding that Jesus had come from heaven to die for your sins? Yeah, this was all new to you.
Yeah, because the Quranic debate was about Jesus on the cross. Yeah, Jesus never died. This is the Quranic debate. But to read the New Testament, you can see clearly the death of Jesus for everyone, and his blood covers all of our sins. Like, and now, it's my chance to get rid of all of this, you know, dirt behind me, the sins and all the terrible things, you know. And at that time, I felt like I need to make a decision, but I was really worried, because I lived all of my life believing Jesus cannot be that. So I needed a revelation. So I was seeking help. And, you know, maybe this is maybe unusual for you, you know, in the West, but in the Middle East, this is common, you know. Jesus came to me in a vision, and he asked me to follow him. And I recognized him very well, that was him. You know, I didn't I never doubted him anymore.
I want to explain. So you had a vision.
Yeah.
What was this at night? Was it in the day? Do you remember?
It was a day, during the day.
Yes.
You know, and I was crying and I was seeking help. I asked God to help me, and He came to me for one time and never again. But He asked me to follow Him.
So you saw Jesus and
He spoke to you. Yes, I saw Him and He spoke to me. I didn't get any chance to speak to Him. So he said, follow me. Yeah, Sharif, follow me.
Wow, that's quite stunning, really.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you do with
that?
Because
I was really confused. Like, I didn't know what to do next. Like, you know, from Islam to Judaism, and then from Judaism to Christianity, and then from Christianity to where, you know? So He stopped the chain of change. He was like, Sharif, follow me. So I followed Him.
Now, you sought help, didn't you? Because you shared what was going on with a fellow student.
Yeah, later, after this vision, and I started to talk to my professor about Jesus and about the Bible, and one of them kicked me out of the lectures, like it did not come to my lecture anymore, you know. And that was a bit sad, because I was seeking help. I wanted to get more information, more knowledge, until I found out that it was one of my classmates who was a believer before me, and he took exactly the same route, you know.
And so what, reading the Hebrew and then Aramaic, he came to faith in Christ.
Yeah.
So what
you spoke to him.
And what did he say? Because he didn't want to talk to begin with, did he?
Yeah, because this is like, you know, to convert from Islam to Christianity in Egypt, this is a crime, it's illegal. You cannot do this, you know. So because he was a good friend, I started to share my thoughts and ideas, and I dared to tell him about the vision. And he was a believer, and he was very happy to have another one like him, you know, to start our
journey
together.
But he said, let's go somewhere else, didn't he?
And he was attending a church at the time, so we started to go to church, and it's a bit risky to go to church, you need like a building in church in Egypt, you know, because you have to change your name, you know, like if you're Sharif, you have to call yourself John or Peter or whatever, because it's a police state, and at that time, I did not know what's happening now after the revolution, the 2011 revolution. So we started to attend the church, and after that, we decided to go for house church. So we started our own house church. So we started to look for people like us. We got together, and we started together, studied the Bible together, because we had the knowledge. We studied the Bible in the original language. We know a lot about the Bible. So we started to, you know, to get together as a group of Muslims who converted to Christianity.
Mm. So you'd really become a Christian. Was there a specific moment, or it was a gradual understanding, or was it the moment of the vision?
Okay, I think the vision changed, like it was the turning point for me. But I spent about 5 years, you know, following religion. You know, I thought Christianity is not very different from Islam or Judaism. It's just you need to be good. Good works, you know. So you have to pray more, you have to read the Bible enough, and you have to do lots of things, you know, exactly as I used to do in Islam. I didn't have this kind of personal relationship with Jesus at the time. I believed in Him, He was my God and my Savior, but I didn't have this intimate relationship to be able to talk to Him, because I was very afraid to talk to Him, you know, because He's my God. And in Islam, I couldn't talk to God, you know. You know, in Islam, you follow tradition, you follow the Sharia law to the degree that the Sharia law became the God. Mm. You know, you never think about God Himself. You just follow. Mm. You do. Mm. You know, and after 5 years, I realized that I left Islam because it's a religion, and now I'm following a religion again. So I decided to ask people about the best way to deal with God. You know, because I didn't have any chance to, I don't want to say to practice Christianity, but to know really about God. He revealed Himself, but I didn't have experience, you know, to be in a personal relationship with Him. Okay, so I started to go back to church. I started to ask people, and I realized, you know, I did not need any mediators between myself and God.
Well, you don't need a mediator.
Yeah.
No.
Just you and God, just open your heart and talk to Him, and He knows what's in my heart and my mind.
It's an amazing story, but time is short. I want to ask you about
something.
No, it's all right. Sharif, This has been very costly, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Because of the country and the very strict sort of Islamic regime. What was your parents' reaction?
Okay, it's not only my parents' reactions, I think the society...
Yeah, tell me that first.
When I shared my faith with my family, they thought, you know, it was like a demon inside me, like something affected my way of thinking, like somebody studied communism, he became a communist, you know, somebody studied, you know, the Bible in the college, so he was affected by these thoughts, so they couldn't believe, you know, somebody can leave Islam, because we never heard of this, we always hear about Christian believe in Islam, not the other way around. Mm. So they brought some sheikhs and they started to, you know...
By sheikhs, these are Muslim religious leaders. And they tried to convince
you? It's like equivalent to Christian ministers, you know, tried to convince me to go back to Islam, and to the degree that I had to leave the house. Because like every day we had people like this trying to convince me to go back to Islam.
So it's tough to leave your house. But eventually you came to the UK, I know I'm cutting a bit out, Sharif. But you then went, when you went back just to visit, you got into severe trouble, didn't you?
Yes, I just want to go back a little bit because I was in prison for about 5 or 6 times because of my faith. And before I left, like, to get married to Emma, the police asked me to go, to leave the country and never come back. And in our last visit, you know, because she visited Egypt a few times, but she never met my family. So we went to see my family together. So in Cairo airport, they arrested me and deported her. They put him in the
back to the UK.
And that lasted for 3 weeks. They tortured me, they beat me, and I think they were trying to kill me. But she did a good job, actually, you know, because she took to, you know, the church family, and they started to complain, and they put pressure on the Egyptian government to release me, and they released me after 3 weeks.
And beaten, tortured, imprisoned, simply because you'd become a Christian?
Yeah.
You weren't involved in political activity or anything?
No, not at all.
Just because you'd become a Christian?
Yeah, that's a crime in Egypt at that time. But a few months later, like a couple of months or 3 months later, the Arab Spring started and the whole regime changed.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Now, Ray's getting agitated because he's sort of shaking his watch. I can see this. But I want one or two more questions, if I may, just quickly. Is it worth it? You know, if all this hassle, all this trouble... Is it worth following Jesus?
Yeah, it's worth it.
Because...
Like, yeah, because if you remember, I was talking to you about, you know, this hypocrisy I used to live in. It's like two different persons, that the good one who like everyone can see, and the terrible person, you know, hiding behind.
Mm.
Okay? So with Jesus, I got back together. I became one person.
Mm.
I do not have any shame if I make a mistake, because he covered this. His blood covered
it. He forgives.
Yes, how can I give this up?
So you know your sins are forgiven because Jesus died and rose.
Yes.
And you believe that Jesus not only died like everybody else, but he rose again.
Yes.
Are you certain of heaven?
Yes.
Are you certain? Because Muslims are not. But you're certain of heaven because you're good enough? No.
No, not at all.
But because
of Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus' death on the cross.
I've just got one last question. It's great to listen. We could listen at great length. But... You said you speak Arabic. I want you to prove this. Quote John chapter 3, verse 16 in Arabic.
No, I don't remember it.
Oh, you don't? Come on. You do.
No, I don't.
You do? I'll give you it in English. You translate. Ready?
Okay.
For God so loved the world.
هكذا أحب الله العالم حتى بذل ابنه الوحيد.
That he gave his only...
The whole verse.
And you did. That was too short. You did. All right, I'll let you off. I'm a bit doubtful now, though, about your Arabic. It's, I'm going to report you to the... You lecture, don't you, at the university in Arabic, but you don't know John. Shame on you. But let's your appreciate. Thank you very much.